Now, dear people, go to his word in Proverbs to a very familiar piece of scripture, portion of scripture, Proverbs 31. And I'm going to read verses 10 to the end of the chapter, the end of the book. 10 to 31, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. This is the word of God, so let us hear it with great thankfulness. Beginning Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, gives meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the sistaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen, she sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household, and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May God bless this portion of his word to us. Yes, Lord Jesus, we ask that thou would bless this portion of your word to us, to our hearts and minds, and we be stayed upon that which is beautiful. A virtuous woman in most beauty, most beautiful of all. And we do pray at the beginning of this message and at the end of it, that all women, daughters of Zion, appear beautiful today and remain so all the days of their lives. We thank you and praise you and cherish all women. In Jesus' name, amen. No, says Abraham Kuyper. No, there is not alone sickness or health. There is still a third something. something that lies in between health and sickness. And that sometimes, already at an early age, follows us after as decline of strength. In a word, weakness lies between health and sickness. Nerves, it is called, with one, poverty of blood with a second, with a third, exhaustion. But whatever it is called and caused, or whatever causes it is attributed, the result is one. They lack strength where strength ought to be. And the anxious feeling of not being able where one wants to do comes back every morning, and to the exhausted man or woman continues as a plague until evening. Abraham Kuyper, in an article he wrote concerning this passage, and in particular our text, points out that this was true especially of mothers. Of course, in his day, which was back in the 18th century, early 19th, actually the 19th century, early 20th century, there was, of course, industry, and cities were being built up, but there was a lot of work to be done at home and on the farm, and many, many people worked with their hands all day long. And it wasn't the odd thing out to call a woman who was married with children a housewife, a homemaker, that she had the responsibility of really organizing the entire home and home life, and to watch out for her husband, to do all things well and honorable, to raise up the children well, as well as you see in this proverb here, in this passage of Scripture, to buy and sell and make clothing and sell it at market. And also, she was also involved in business. But everything circled back to the home. Her focus, her main focus, was on her home, her husband, her children, what was going on in the household. And she worked tirelessly to... you know, the good woman, the virtuous woman of Proverbs, and the women that were in Israel worked hard. Women in this line of reason, if you will, this way of thinking, this time in which Kuyper was speaking and writing, were recognized as hard workers. No doubt today as well. It's different. Yes, things have changed quite a bit. It's not an agrarian society, or mostly an agrarian culture or society anymore, so the work is different for men and for women. But still, the focus, the attention for both parents, but I think mainly the mother, is the home. It's always on her mind. And that's a very precious thing to us all. It's a very important thing. Well, anyway, it was not an uncommon thing for the women, but in Kuyper's day, which, like I said, is the end of the 19th, the beginning of the 20th century, to work their fingers to the bone, if you will. Work working out was hard. Doing all the responsibilities at home and also beyond home were a great challenge. And what she discovered, even in her earlier years, before the kids were out and about and out of the house and had homes of their own and all, she was still raising the kids here. They were now perhaps more adult than child. But she discovered that she lacked strength at times during the course of any given day. I mean, I think we all can identify with that. No matter, it starts out when we're real young, that our strength begins to ebb. It doesn't take long. In fact, I'm told by, I don't know if you know about gamers. I know about gamers, you know, those people that sit in computers and play the games all day. Well, the thing that is kind of unique, I never knew it, is that when you're older, you can't compete with those who are young. Now, most people that are old, probably the majority, the vast majority, if not all of them, cannot really compete. They cannot go at the same level and rate as a young person can, who has that eye-hand coordination, who's quick, and the mind is sharp, the eyes, the sight is good, the hearing, everything is good. So they're on their game, so to speak. And to be an older gamer is like to be in your 30s. I mean, you can't compete with the kids in their 20s. It's very difficult. It's a great challenge. They pick it up, and they're fast at it. So this idea of, old men and women feeling their age and losing their strength begins way back when they're young. When, in fact, you're children even, or, in your teen years, and you may be peak in your 20s, but your strength for the day is ebbing all the time. And you realize that the older you get, so that when you get to be around 60 or 70 or something like that, wow, there's really a noticeable difference. Before then, perhaps in your 30s or your 40s, you could lie and say, I'm just as the same as I was. 50 is the new 30, and all that stuff. It's a lie, though, right? Your body knows how old you are, and you do not have the same amount of strength. Hence, the wise writer has a word here, looking at his eye towards this virtuous woman. He has a word to say in verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arm. And I want to talk about that. We've already spoken about that in the middle of health, between health and disease or sickness, is strength and weakness from in our lives. And we all know what it feels like to feel weakened or to be weak. I want to talk about her girdle, this girdle. She girdeth her loins. Puts a girdle on? She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arm. I also want to speak about faith. And then faith and means. And again, very important for us to have that in our minds at all times. Faith and means, M-E-A-N-S. The means that God uses to that actually faith sees the connection between them. And then finally, strength is a gift. It's one of the many gifts that God gives each and every one of us. If we didn't have any strength, we wouldn't be alive. So it's a gift. And we need to consider it that from God. So let's first consider this girdle that she makes. Now, I want to point up and out that it's important for us, in order to get the real meaning, the basic meaning, the fundamental meaning from the word, we need to take this as in real life, that this is a real woman. So we need to take it in a spiritual, practical sense, not so much in an allegorical sense or in a narrative sense or in a parabolic sense, although looking at it as a narrative, looking at it as an allegory between Christ and the church, a love between Christ and the church, is not useless. A lot of useful insights come from looking at it that way and may apply to this passage, to this scripture as well. But I think its basic meaning is that this is really happening. And I pointed that up and out about creation itself. When we think on creation, we want to understand Genesis 1 and 2, even though there's a lot to be said for the literary interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2, and I'm not going to get into all that, what that means, only like the framework hypothesis comes from a literary interpretation, literary. It's literature. It's Hebrew literature. It's Hebrew poetry. It's unique Hebrew poetry and that kind of thing. And there's a lot to be said for looking at it that way and seeing how God inspired this prophet Moses to write this charming framework, to put reality in a framework of a week. And all of reality in a framework of a week. And it's good insight, but it doesn't eradicate or erase the literal meaning that Genesis 1 and 2 actually did take place in six literal days, resting on the seventh. You can have both. It's the same with the miracles. Think of the miracles. The miracles of Jesus Christ. Say the blind man is healed of his blindness, and the deaf man is healed of his deafness, and the lame is healed of his weakness. Now, all that means something else, right? Jesus heals the blind to show us that our souls are blind and can't see the gospel truth, or our ears, the ears of our souls are deaf and can't hear the sounds of heaven coming from the gospel until God heals the soul's eyes, gives sight to the soul's eyes, and hearing to the soul's ears, and gives soul strength to its lameness and its weakness before the holiness of God and walking in the righteous way and all that stuff. That's what it really meant. That's what the miracle. That's why there are no miracles today, because miracles were signs and wonders of a spirituality that Jesus was performing, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. Remember when John told his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, is he the one to come, or should we expect another? And he said that the deaf, the blind are healed, the deaf are here, the lame are also given strength, quoting Isaiah. He was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, and that's what a miracle really is, a sign and wonder, a prophecy come to reality. Nevertheless, he really did heal the blind, the deaf, the lame. But it was a message. There was a greater reality behind all that. Likewise, we have in Proverbs here, the virtuous woman. She really did exist. But is the Church of Jesus Christ a virtuous woman, so to speak? Yes, of course. Is she a delight to her husband, who is Jesus Christ? Yes,
Of course, the greater reality, if you will. But it doesn't negate the fine points of this reality, the physical reality, the real reality of this virtuous woman, raising a family, working in an agrarian culture, working herself to the bone, and needing strength for the day. That's a real thing. And so I think the better way to take this is first begin taking it for what it says, certainly what it seems to say, and then working out from there. There's, the scriptures do run very deep. Now, it is said by the psalmist in another place that in jubilating about the Lord himself, the psalmist sings out, "He hath girded himself." God, in other words, girds himself, strengthens himself. So if God strengthens himself, certainly we can see the need for ourselves to be strengthened. And he says of his David, that with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. So, to gird one's loins is the perception, the feeling, the sensation of increase of strength till you say to yourself, "Yes, now I am able." To strengthen one's arms is to, in other words, instead of them being limp and idle and relaxed, if you will, to strengthen one's arm is I'm ready to do what I must do with my arms, with my hands, and get to work. That is what strengthening the loins is. In other words, it is figurative. It's not that she's making herself a girdle and putting it on, a corset, so that she feels strengthened, you know, she feels firmed up a bit. It's not talking about that. Though she does make girdles, she does make clothes and all that stuff. But it's strengthening the one's loins, strengthening one's arms, bringing power to oneself is the power of the will. It's the power of the mind. It's the it's self-control. It's exertion in prayer. That's how she girds her loins and strengthens her arms. She drops to her knees and she prays for control and for temperance and for ability to organize the whole situation, for the calm necessary to think through the day's activities and plan wisely what she's about to do without being overwhelmed and running like a chicken with its head cut off this way and that way till you run yourself ragged and into the ground. I remember as a pastor the advice that was given to me when I was young pastor. Peter, I was told, do not become a captive, a victim of the urgent. Do not become trapped and controlled by everybody's urgencies or your own urgency. Sit back, think about it, pray about it, control your actions, make certain that you're accomplishing the most in the least amount of time, expending the least amount of your energy because you have to pace yourself like it's a long race, right? We're in a day's race, 16 hours, many of us are even longer than that. You have to pace yourself. And this is what girding the loins in strength means, to pray for self-control, to contemplate the matter, to gain the strength necessary and to pace yourself necessary, the will and the power to go forward and make it to the end of the day without killing yourself. Do never become a victim of the urgent. Everything is urgent to someone. Do not be victimized by it. But that's what a lot of us, that's what happens to a lot of us. And we do not gird up our loins in faith to be strengthened by the Lord to go through the day. And so many of us do run ourselves ragged, and others as well we would run ragged if allowed. I think part of the problem with some of the pastors of the past, like Charles Spurgeon, is he ran himself ragged. But not completely. He accomplished a lot, even though he didn't live as long as most of us. So this woman, this virtuous woman, wife, mother, no doubt, later on grandmother, she's a woman that does not complain and does not sigh and does not say, oh, expletive, you know, throughout the course of the day, like probably some of us, myself included, have done. This is a virtuous woman. She prays. She gives thanks. She asks the Lord, who put these things in her way, to give her the strength for the day, to do those things that she was given by Him to do. So she did everything in faith, in the strength that comes from the will that's energized, the control that's given to a person that does what he does, in this case, what she does by faith. You see, dear people, the teaching here in Proverbs chapter 31 throughout, talking about the virtuous woman from verse 10 on, but in particular verse 17 is the reverse of what the world has taught us, and perhaps what we have learned so well that we're captured in, and that is that the body controls the soul. But that's the reverse of the reversed order of what God has given in His Word. The soul should supply the body's strength. And I'll give you an example of what this really means in actuality, in terms of understanding what's going on when it comes to healings. You all have heard of healings. Healings are around. They were around back in Kuyper's day, and they were talking about it. He was talking about, you know, we just heard that in America there's a lot of healings going on. You know, physical healings. And the news spread from America, all this stuff was going on, these revivals and the healings going on in them and all that stuff, that spread to Europe where he was, in the Netherlands at the time, Holland now. And he believed them. I believe them, don't you? I mean, some of them are charlatans, we know that. But all of them, thousands, tens of thousands of healings taking place all over the place. Perhaps you know people that are in your family and have been healed.
How's that happen?
Miracles, we tend to think miracles, right? The miracles of the Bible. But that's not what's happening with the real ones, with the ones that are actually happening. And what Kuiper points out in this article that he writes is that, and yet these healings are nothing but the effect of willpower inspired by faith, concentrated upon one single point, which willpower has a higher and a greater strength than even the physical. But it is the physical that thinks that the soul is impotent at this point, at this time. And so the body takes over. And it just gets sicker and sicker and weaker. Because the reverse order is given to people and given to people's minds. And that is that the body controls the soul. But it's not the case. God didn't give that order. God gives the order that the soul controls the body. And when the soul controls the body, yes, it even affects us physically. And it brings healings. We call them psychosomatic healings to kind of explain them or explain them away or whatever. But they're real healings. But they're not miracles, that signs and wonders that Jesus and the prophets before him did and the apostles did afterwards. They're willpower. They're focused faith. Attention given to the soul and the faith of the soul focusing on this problem that I'm having. And it brings healing to many. Thousands upon thousands of people. They're not all liars. They're not all crazies. It really does happen. Yes, even cancer goes into remission, disappears. Inexplicable things start happening. I don't have a rationale for it. A doctor doesn't have a reason for it. But it happened. How did it happen? Will. A will that's informed and strengthened from the soul by faith. Believing that that's the order that God gives us. To live by faith, not by sight. To walk by faith every day and not by sight. And believe Him that He's involved in all this. And if it's His will, He will heal. Heal, Lord, heal and help me. Give me strength for the day. And He brings that strength. When the soul's in charge, the body falls in line oftentimes. Not always, obviously not always. Perhaps not mostly. But it does have an effect when you put the soul in charge and not your body. That's what girding the loins is all about. That's what it means. To gird, she girds her loins with strength. Where? From the soul, from faith, from prayer. And strengthens her arms, her body. Her soul is strengthened. And hey, it translates to the body so that her arms are strengthened. You get it? That's the picture here. It's really happening. And it can happen for you. And for me, truly, this is a virtuous woman. Strength. She has strength for the day. So do you, I take it. So do I. I know that I ascend this pulpit every single Sunday now, and lately more so than ever before. I ask the Lord for strength to get through because, you know, sometimes I feel like I could collapse. You know, I feel my sugar level, something's off. And I feel weak. And so I ask the Lord in faith almost every Sunday to please give me strength. Give me strength, Lord, to do this. And every Sunday He does. The soul is in charge. Through prayer and faith, it's strengthened and it communicates often to the body. Strength is a talent. It's a gift and it's a talent. One of the many talents that God gives us, you know, Jesus talked about the talents. Some are given 10, 5, 1, whatever it is. And so each of us is given strength for the day. Each of us is given at least a talent, maybe more, of strength. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that we're to use that talent. And we're to use it wisely. We are to make more, if you will. We are not to bury it. We are not to let it alone, but we are to take that talent and use it, that strength that He has given us, and use it well and to make more, to get the most out of it. Well, how do you do that? How does this work? And we need to understand the relationship between faith and means. God uses many means. So, for example, you have a household full of work. This woman has a household full of work, full of children, full of servants. You know, she's busy. And the whole thing is before. Now, this thing can run amok in a moment. There's people going every which way. There's things happening. There's things breaking. There's, you know, animals around there. Whatever it is that's going on. And the whole house could be a house of disorder. Or faith wisdom sees the orderly and the systematic and the right way to arrange things. In other words, God brings to us reason. He gives to us methods. He gives to us control. And He informs our faith of these things through means. And so we use these many means that God has provided and made available to us that are at our disposal to use well in a given day. We can use the many means that He gives to us in a variety of different ways, in bad ways or in good ways. But we use the means. And like I said, it could be in a non-profitable way, misusing your talents, your strength, or you can use the means that God gives you in a very wise and wonderful way, a way that accomplishes a great deal in a little bit. So faith uses the means that God provides to accomplish the will of the Lord and to get through this life, and to use His talents, or her talents in this case, well. Faith uses means, many means this way. As it's pointed out, there is division of time, there is division of the daily task, there is division of what you charge others to do. Not the young woman who rushes along with things all day long and wears herself out, but the woman who calmly, seated in her armchair, plans the daily run of the household and tactfully directs its course, serves her God in her carefulness and radiates blessing in all her environment. You can have wisdom shine forth. That was Kuiper, by the way. You can have wisdom shine forth in the way you operate your household. By learning to gird your loins with strength, and in turn strengthen your arms. through faith and prayer, directing your soul first, coming from your soul. That's what walking by faith is. Coming from the soul, you accomplish much. And you even strengthen your body. Visit the soul first every day. That will well your body. That will bring wellness to your body. Not absolutely.
But you'll see.
And then, you know, again, faith sees God in everything. God brings this into my life. God brings that into my life. God brings all these things as means for me to use with the strength that he gives me. And Kuyper ends, she alone who believes, not sentimentally, but practically, shall in this also be more than conqueror. That is, running her household well, as this virtuous woman does. Let's look at it in another way, very simply. You're not very virtuous if your household is in shambles. Is that as practical as I can get? You don't show yourself very virtuous if your household's in shambles. It's not always the case. Can't always blame the mother or the father or the parents. But oftentimes you can. Even the world is saying that. These kids out in the streets, 13 years old, running around with guns, getting shot by a cop. We're the parents, they say. And they have a point. What's going on in the house? Who's running the house? Well, it ain't a virtuous woman. In many cases. Not every case, there are exceptions. But in many cases, they do not have virtuous women and loving fathers running that household. And that's why some of these things happen. A lot of these things happen. Can't always blame the parents, but there is a large sense. So, in this struggle to girdle, the girdle of faith, it begins in mystery. Because you're dealing with the spirits, his operations, and the soul, and all that stuff. But it ends in practicality. Dear people, be virtuous. Learn from the virtuous woman to girdle your loins with strength and in turn strengthen your arms. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful for this word. It rings true to us. It's just such wonderful. It's delightful. It's so much different than the direction that the world is taking today, that many people take and believe. This is precious. This is gold. This is more precious than gold. Yes, you say your words. More precious than gold. Sweeter than honey. And we delight in it. And we delight in our mothers, our daughters of Zion. Bless them. Heartily bless them. In their soul and in their body, in their mind and spirit, as well as in their physique. We ask in your name, Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. Amen.